Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my co-host, Joe Truini, and we've got it stacked up here ready for you because you're at the right place for the most practical, realistic, most current home improvement information you'll find anywhere. During this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio, we're going to be talking about what's involved in removing paint from bricks. Whether you're inside or outside, someone paints bricks, someone down the road is going to want to return it back. How hard is that? We'll tell you all about it. We've done it many times. Also, cracks in concrete. It's almost every single show we do. We talk about it, but every crack's a little bit different. We're going to talk about kind of a unique crack that's formed in a homeowner's patio, and we'll offer some advice on how to fix it. Also, we talk about removing all of the fuel out of your lawnmower when your seasons change, or if you left your fuel in the lawnmower over winter, you probably want to get some nice fresh gas in there. How do you get it out of there? We've got a tip for you on that. Lots of emails, lots of calls, and of course, my buddy Joe has a simple solution ready for us. What can we expect in a little bit, Joe?
I do indeed, and it's a simple solution when using a powered miter saw to make cuts, cross cuts and boards. Often you have to make just a little bitty cut just to remove a hair of wood, and how do you do that accurately without cutting it too much? Because of course, then the board's too short. So I've got a quick tip on how to do that.
Well, every week we look forward to those simple solutions. And hey, we want to hear from you. What's happening around your house? You having any little issues or problems? Are you thinking about a project? Well, let us help you out with it. Send us an email anytime, todayshomeowner.com/ask, or just pick up the phone anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline. A lot of things that we can share with you. Hey, I want to remind you about our big community service project that we're doing. It is going to be one of the episodes of the Today's Homeowner television show. It'll be one of the most significant projects we've ever done because we have about 150 people showing up to help us out to make the USS Alabama battleship look just a little bit nicer. It's the number one tourist attraction in the state of Alabama, and they do a great job in taking care of it, but it's a big, big place, and they need our help just to kind of polish it up just a little bit. You can be a part of it, and to find out more, go to todayshomeowner.com/battleship. That's todayshomeowner.com/battleship. You can find out all about what's going on. It's going to take place the first week of June. You can be a part of it by either volunteering, or if you'd like to make a donation that'll go 100% right to this cause, we would love for you to do that. Again, todayshomeowner.com/battleship.
What, Joe, what kind of stuff are you going to be doing, Don?
Gallons of gray. They're undergoing a $8.5 million renovation to replacing all of the teak on the deck. Now you can imagine.
I'm surprised it had teak.
Well, like 75-year-old stuff, and boy, the stuff they're putting down is incredible. This is a very impressive contractor that they're using, and they're doing it right. But there's sections of the boat, like we're going to be working on the bow of the ship. We'll have lots of people up there painting gray, and you paint the guns black, and several things going on there. Also, landscaping. You know, this is a perfect time of the year, whether it's the battleship park or whether it's your yard, to really look at what you have going on outside. And we have our friend Sid Sexton with Sexton Landscaping that's designing all of the stuff that we're doing there. So lots of plants, lots of pressure washing. I would almost say an acre of pressure washing we will be doing. Lots and lots. And we have a special company coming out with a big, giant heated tank that's going to make that a little bit easier. So just lots of odds and ends, lots of mowing grass. They have a 40-acre yard there. So lots and lots of things going on. But it's mainly
Have you brought the grandkids out there prior to this?
They have been out there, but they'll be there this week. The whole company will be out there. The community will be out there. We've got the mayor coming out, so it's going to be very interesting. We've got a lot of surprises, too, that we're not going to share with anyone until you see it on the show. Okay. But it's going to be a fabulous show that wraps up our 25th season on national television. So, again, todayshomeowner.com slash battleship. Hey, Joe, you know something you and I were talking about a while back?
What's that?
I mean, I know you put together some information on this about garbage disposals because,
those are
a fantastic thing to have if you use them right. But I have seen and heard many people complaining about having problems with them. Normally, when you talk to them about it, they have force-fed that thing way more than they need to. You don't use enough water, and you might be putting the wrong things in there. I know you put together a list that I think is very interesting. 5 things you should never put in a garbage disposal. Joe, take us through it.
Okay, and these are not the obvious things like your fingers and silverware and very stringy, celery, kind of anything with long strings in it, and nothing that should be just thrown in the trash, of course, should ever go down there. So here are the 5 things. Some of them I found kind of surprising. First thing is starches, bread, potatoes, pasta, rice, anything like that. Because what happens is when those go down, those expand when they get wet, of course.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah,
right?
I can see
that. And that can lead to clogs. Any fats, oil, grease, anything like that, for the same reason, when they get cold, you know, they can clog up and slow down the effectiveness of your garbage disposal. And lots of peels. I mean, carrots, potatoes, anything like that. You know, if you peel one potato and throw it down there, it's not an issue. But how often do you peel one potato, right? Some people are peeling 20 or 30 potatoes and they jam them in, like Danny says. You start jamming stuff in there and it can slow down. And if you're slowing down, even if the disposer can grind all that stuff up, if you're slowing it down and stressing that motor, what happens? You shorten the life of the motor, of course, and you can burn it out prematurely. So don't stuff all those peels down there. Eggshells, which is another thing that I did not realize that was an issue. The reason they don't want eggshells down there is they don't decompose quickly enough. And so they, again, can lead to clogging anything else you put down there. And those are the perfect things, by the way. The peels and the eggshells are great for your compost. So
yeah,
that's what
compost,
you should be surely saving for. And the 5th thing is coffee grounds, which again, I'm like, what's the issue with coffee grounds? And the problem is the same as with eggshells. They do not decompose quickly. So, and they can clump together. Now, if you ever see coffee grounds and then you wet them, right? They clump together like wet sand. So that can become an issue. So there you go. Starches, fats, and oils, lots of peels, eggshells, and coffee grounds. You know, do not put those down your garbage disposal.
And good old common sense, too. A little at a time. Don't just stuff those things and then turn it on. You just feed a little bit into it at a time, along with, surprises a lot of people, cold water.
They say
to
use
cold water instead of hot water, for that, so that it kind of, binds together better and grinds up and moves through there a lot quicker. So that's very important. Also, I know I went to one of my rental houses one time that people were having a little problem with the garbage disposal, and I dropped by, and as soon as I opened the door, I smelled shrimp. And I said, So we go over there, and they had packed just shrimp tails and
shell,
and
the shells
and everything. And just, I mean, it was an amazing amount in there. So don't do that. That's very important that you just feed it a little at a time. And also, if you're buying a garbage disposal, really look at it closely, because you may want to kind of upgrade just a tad, because you can get some of them that are so quiet and just really do work very, very well. So you just want to do that. And a garbage disposal will last you forever if you just treat it right. So we thought that'd be kind of cool just to visit a few of those things and let you know a few of the things not to do. And of course, if you have a chance, you can take a look at the simple solution on cleaning your garbage disposal. I'll tell you what, that's fun to let the kids help you with.
That's
when you put that baking soda in there and you pour that vinegar on there, and the science experiment happens right there in front of you. The kids will love that. You just don't want them to do it every week, but once a year, every 6 months, something like that. Very simple, easy way to get that nice and clean. Alrighty, well, we're just getting started here on today's Homeowner Radio. We do have a lot of information to share with you, and we hope that you'll hang in here with us, because we do have a lot to share with you and a lot of information that will help you with some of the projects you might be taking on around your house. You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
To every woman with a will and a workbench, every mom with a miter saw she's not afraid to use, every daughter with a drill and the drive, to the women who get their nail guns together, the ones who are welding the gap, the same ones who DIY like no one's watching. At the Home Depot, we see the potential in you because you see the potential in everything. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Replacing your home's roof is a big deal, so it's not something you want to do more than once. That's why a quality metal roof makes so much sense. Metal roofs are stronger, more durable, and stand up to severe weather like hurricanes far better than traditional shingle roofs. They improve energy efficiency, lower maintenance, and come in a wide variety of styles and colors to fit any type of home. Learn more about how a quality metal roof can protect your home for a lifetime. Get your free Metal Roofing Alliance Buyer's Guide at metalroofing.com/todayshomeowner.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Well, I tell you, it's so exciting when we can announce a brand new radio station joining the Today's Homeowner Network. This one is in Laconia, New Hampshire, and it's WEMJ AM 1490 and 107.3 FM. A special hello to everybody in that beautiful part of the country. We want to help you out, and we make it so easy for you to reach out to us. You know, you can even go to the Today's Homeowner Facebook page and send us any kind of question that you may have. There's a lot happening on that particular page, or you can go online, todayshomeowner.com/ask, and send us an email, or just pick up the old-fashioned telephone and give us a call at 800-946-4420. All right, well, let's grab a couple of these emails that we have here. We do appreciate you sending all of these emails. This one came in from Denise. Says, I have a small, older cottage in New Hampshire. How about that? Around 1950 when it was built. The exterior of the fireplace was painted with masonry paint and now is cracking and peeling. Do you have any advice on how to handle this? I would really like to have that the old brick showing and not the white paint. Can I remove this paint and somehow save the look of the brick facade? Well, Denise, my daughter Chelsea, who's a co-host of my television show, really wanted to strip off all of the paint off of some brick steps that she had outside. Well, she did it, and it was a fair amount of work. But what you have to be careful with is not to get too aggressive with things because it can scar the brick. Bricks are pretty strong, but not not to where they can't be damaged, the face of them. And once they're damaged, there's nothing you can do. But chemical strippers, especially citrus-based strippers, is what I would recommend. And often when we have questions like this, I'll mention, go and buy you two or three small containers of different type of paint remover and paint strippers. And apply each one of them to a step or to one area just to see which one seems to work the best. It's kind of funny, sometimes one will work better on this project and another one will work better on that. But give it a try, but make sure you look at those directions and the precautions that come along with it, that some of them require respirators. I would strongly suggest eye protection as well as making sure that you don't get it on your hands, especially with the special type of rubber gloves and so forth. But it's a fair amount of work, but you can try it out a little bit. We're looking at the picture that Denise sent in. And, Joe, it should be fairly accessible, even though a chimney can get fairly high. But it's quite a project, but if that's what you're longing for. But, the problem is you can get that paint off of the face of the brick.
Off the brick.
But it's almost impossible to get it off the mortar itself.
Yeah, it's a little more difficult. First, the mortar is much more porous than the brick, and of course, it's also recessed. Typically, the joints are recessed. And in this photograph, I can see that's exactly the case. Now, she said the house was built in the 50s. I'm not sure when the fireplace was painted, but either way, I would first test it for lead. You can go to Home Depot and get a really simple lead test. I think they're like $7 or $8. And just test it first because you really don't want to be messing around with lead, even with a chemical stripper. And if that's the case, if it does show positive for lead, then you're going to have to call in a lead abatement company. But let's assume it's not. Then, there's the citrus-based stripper that's most popular is called Citrus Strip. And that's one I've used, and it works great. depending on the paint, how old it is, and whether it's oil or latex. It works on both, but it works differently. It takes longer on oil. But follow the instructions. And in this case, you might not need to apply the stripper, and then cover it with plastic, really super thin plastic, just stick it in place. And that retards the evaporation process, so it gives the stripper a longer time to work. Leave it overnight, and then according to Citrus Strip, they can remove up to 5 layers of paint in that process. I've never had to remove 5 layers of paint, so I trust that that's correct. But either way, I think that would be the way to go, as Danny said, using a citrus-based stripper.
Okay, Denise, follow the instructions. Be safe on it, and best of luck on success on that project. Let's go to some emails right now. If you'd like to send us one, you can at todayshomeowner.com/ask. That's what Janice did. She said, I currently own a mobile home. However, we've outgrown it, and I need more space. Would it be beneficial to add on to the trailer or build a new house? We're trying to see which would be more economical. Thanks in advance for your response. Well, you know, interesting. I think very few people probably have had any experience in building onto a mobile home. The thing about a mobile home, it is mobile. You want it to remain mobile, I think. If you do, then adding on to it is almost impossible. My older brother did that one time, and I'm telling you, he had cables attached to this, and that, it looked great inside, but outside it looked like a suspension bridge that was about to pop. So I would not recommend really building on. I mean, if you have the wheels off of it and the axles off of it, it basically is not a mobile home anymore. Okay, well, and if you know you're not going to ever move it, okay, well, that's just like building onto a home. Other than mobile homes, a lot of times only have, you know, 2-inch walls. A lot of them are built out of 2x2s, and so it's a little bit different in tying all of that together. But again, if it's going to ever move, don't build an addition. If you're going to have it there forever, then you might be able to build on just like you would a conventional roof on that.
And the other thing is, if she owns the property and she plans on building a new home on the property, then, you know, that's a cost savings, right? Because you just have to build the house. You have to buy the land and build the house. So
that's
if you
right.
can move the mobile home out of the way, still live in it, and then build the house, you know, or if she can build the house on the property without moving, the mobile home would even better. But that would be a cost saving. Obviously, it would be cheaper ordinarily to add on to any structure than to build something from scratch. Uh-huh. But in this case, yeah, if she can continue to live on the property and build the house on a different piece of the property, then that might work out fine.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea as well. Another email from Charlotte, North Carolina. Phil writes in, Hi, Danny. My plumber said that I should replace the anode rods in my water heater every few years, which I recently did. But now the water smells like rotten eggs. Why does the water smell, and how can I fix it? Should I just remove the rods? But boy, this is something we've talked about. Didn't something go wrong here, Joe, for them? Because replacing the rods are normally what you do to solve that problem.
Yeah, exactly. And for people who aren't familiar, most tanked water heaters have two rods going down from the top, two long rods, and they're sacrificial elements, meaning that if there's any corrosion inside the tank, it'll attack these rods rather than the tank itself. So it's really nice to have those rods and to maintain them. And what Phil did is he replaced them. But what happened, they're made out of different materials, these rods. And the bacteria in the water is caused by a reaction to the magnesium or the aluminum that's in these anode rods, typically. So what you need to do is, he replaced them, but he should have replaced them with rods made with an aluminum zinc alloy, not magnesium, not aluminum, and the zinc is what will kill that odor. So if you get the anode rods that have, I'm not sure if you can get aluminum, if you get just zinc or it's aluminum zinc alloy. I know the aluminum zinc alloy, I don't know if there's just zinc ones, but in any case, it's a zinc that will kill that bacteria and the odor. And he's right, it does smell like rotten eggs in the water. The water is perfectly safe, by the way. It just smells funny. So he had to, unfortunately, replace these new rods with more new rods, but that have the zinc in them.
But I would certainly think the newer water heaters, that almost should become a thing of the past. But, you know, water, you know, even safe drinking water has such a variety of chemicals in that, depending on, you know, hard water, soft water, you know, you've got all kinds of, you know, rust contaminants and all kinds of things.
Sediment, right.
Yeah, yeah. And sediments, you know, and then, you know, it just seems like technically they would have those water heaters worked out to where you wouldn't have to worry about any of these little things like the rods being replaced and that kind of thing. Seems like they should have that they should be as advanced enough that that wouldn't ever be a problem.
Well, other than being really affordable, the traditional tank water heater, I wonder if they're going to go by the wayside and just not even exist with the advancements of tankless water heaters, right? Dan, I know you put one in your new home, and why not? You know, I mean, once the cost comes down even more, as they will, on the tankless, I think maybe this won't even be an issue in the future.
Coming up, we're going to give you a few tips on how to remove the gas from your lawnmower so that you can put fresh gas in and make sure that grass looks better than it ever had in your lawn. All of that and a whole lot more coming up here on today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Fluid Master. Find out more at shop.fluidmaster.com.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Organization is always a challenge in the garage, especially when it comes to tools that get used all over the place. Pros face the same kind of challenge, so Milwaukee developed the PackOut modular storage system for pros and active DIYers. The system includes toolboxes, totes, carts, and wall plates to simplify all of your organization. For example, the wall plate features quick alignment tabs to make installing rows and columns of multiple plates a lot easier. They're constructed with metal reinforced mounting points and include mounting holes spaced on 16-inch centers to align with your wall studs. These hanging brackets come in a variety of shapes and sizes and lock into the wall plates for more secure storage. So pack out your tools and keep them organized. Check it all out at HomeDepot.com. Right now, we're going to head right back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. We have Ann on the line from Northern Illinois. Ann, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on at your house.
We have a lovely screened-in porch. It is about 22 by 12. There is a middle drain in a concrete floor. We have, radiating out from the drain, there are four or five main cracks toward the perimeter of the screened porch. In 2019, we did have it mud-jacked so that the cracks, they were uneven. So the mud-jacking lifted it up, and it's a little bit more even, much more even. The cracks had been perched about 3/4 of an inch. So the sections were leveled, and my husband did. He loves a project. He does a great job around the house. But he did the cracks. He ground them out and filled them with recap in 20 or 21, and it did fine. It leveled everything out, filled the cracks, but of course, in Northern Illinois, with the heave and thaw and cold, it opened up the seams in most of the cracks, and now the seams are up about 1/16th to 1/4 of an inch, and some the recap itself, that concrete recap, it's cracked and loose in places. We are looking for help with, is there a flexible crack sealer, something that would be wonderful to fill those cracks, alleviate the heave and thaw, and then eventually we wouldn't mind using the beautiful like epoxy coating over the top.
Right. Uh-huh. Well, it's a little complicated there in that it obviously is not just expansion and contraction or surface type cracks. If you had problems with settling that has been remedied there, you still have movement, maybe a little more movement than the recap tolerance will take. Even though I have been through this same type of situation with the patio where there was some tree limbs or tree roots under it that were active and continuing to crack it. I tell you, we did the recap, and I would say it took care of about 90% of the aesthetic cracks and so forth. But we did it a second time, and it's lasted for about 10 years. So that's a possibility. Another possibility is to use some concrete repair caulk. Now, concrete repair caulk, Quikrete also has this, does remain flexible, and it actually has a little bit of texture to it. So, you know, a lot of times when you caulk a crack with regular caulk, it'll kind of end up kind of highlighting it a little bit because it ends up being kind of shiny and smooth where there's texture around the rest of the surface. With this type of textured concrete repair caulk, if you use it very sparingly, because you don't want a lot of overlap, but you use it very sparingly, that will take care of it. That will allow things to move back and forth and that type of thing, and will allow you to cover that floor with another coating if you choose to do that, because some of the epoxy coatings and some of the things that we talk about from Deitch coatings, pretty amazing. I mean, it's absolutely makes it beautiful, but I think the flexible caulk might be the way that you want to go on this.
When you say flexible caulk, is there a brand? And you just said something like Deitch or?
Well, that's a couple different things. First of all, for your concrete repair caulk, you'd be looking for the brand Quikrete. So Quikrete's available at Home Depot and other retail centers. And just get the concrete repair caulk. It'll say on there that flexible. It'll tell you all about that it is made for repairing cracks. Now, the coating that I was mentioning would be after you have all of that done and it's nice and dry, if you decide to do that. You can go to DeitchCoatings.com. That's D-A-I-C-H coatings.com. And see a lot of videos and a lot of different type of coatings they have, but you'll want to take care of the crack before you apply any of that.
Sure, sure. Well, thank you very much for this information. And I noticed that you also gave, you were at the, in our research on the computer, you gave, you know, you were at the bottom with, like, was it a Deitch? We also know as Deitch cleaner etcher, that type of thing. Elasto
yes.
Crack filler. Is that all within that same company that would be helpful?
Well, that would be Quikrete. You could go to Quikrete.com and find and look up this exact product that I'm speaking of and be able to see. It's something that they have worked on for many, many years, and it's the best I've ever tried to fill up cracks in concrete.
Very good. Thank you so much for your help. We appreciate it.
Oh, we appreciate it, Anne. You have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Cracks in concrete, Joe. Gee, yep. Wiz, why don't we figure out concrete guaranteed not to crack?
Good luck with that.
Yeah, we could take over the world.
Yeah, unfortunately, Ann's problem is pretty severe because I've talked to the experts at Quikrete several times about, like, when can you repair a crack and when can't you? And they and anybody else would tell you, once it cracks where one side of the crack is higher than the other, one side of the concrete is higher than the other, that means that crack's gone all the way through the slab.
That's right.
And really the only long-term solution is to pull out all that concrete and pour something new from scratch. Once it cracks all the way through, everything else is a Band-Aid solution. And that's the reason she's having trouble, why Recap could never prevent that shift, no matter how much mortar they pump underneath that to stabilize it. Once that's cracked all the way through, that's a separate issue to deal with, which is really pretty difficult.
Yeah, and to explain that just a tad more, when we talk about two different types of cracks, when you're talking about a settling crack is what Joe's talking about and what Ann mentioned, that the slab one side, you know, shifted down considerably on the other. So as Joe said, it's cracked all the way through. The surface expansion contraction type of cracks we talk about, that's just on the surface. That's from just thermal expansion and contraction. Those are the ones that are fairly easy to cosmetically repair. Hey, we're going to take a short break here on today's Homeowner Radio. When we come back, we have a lot more information to share with you so that you can have the best looking house on the block. You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Since 1982, Exmark has been dedicated to building the world's finest mowers. These machines provide you with a quality of cut that seems impossible, dependability you can measure in lifetimes, and an operator experience like none other. Because Exmark believes if something's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Visit Exmark.com to discover a one-of-a-kind ownership experience and see the difference for yourself.
Our
Our friends at Deitch Coatings have done it again. Transform your patio, porch, or walkway with their spread stone decorative concrete resurfacing kit. Everything you need in one kit to create a stunning new surface. And there are five colors to choose from. No artistic skills needed. Just roll on the coatings following the four-step process. Get more details and order your kit today at the Home Depot or DeitchCoatings.com. That's DeitchCoatings.com.
Hey, I'm Chelsea Lipford Wolf. I'd love for you to check in and see what projects I'm working on in and around my house. All you have to do is type in checkinginwithchelsea.com into your favorite browser. You'll find my weekly blog projects and my feature web show with small, manageable DIY projects aimed at making your home your own. And if that's not enough Chelsea for you, find me on Instagram and Facebook for behind-the-scenes updates of what I'm working on when I'm not on Today's Homeowner TV. Again, that's checkinginwithchelsea.com. Brought to you by TiteBond.
Retractable screen doors are all about the view and convenience. That's why Wizard Screens made the VistaView retractable screen door, the most sleek and convenient screen door on the market. The VistaView screen allows you to easily and safely stop your screen across any size door. No more noisy slam back to disturb your peace and quiet. Experience the magic of retractable screens with Wizard Screens. Check out GetWizardScreens.com to learn more.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes or countertops. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Installing electrical switches and outlets is time-consuming, even for pros. But Leviton is changing the game with their new Decora Edge line of wiring devices. Just push stripped 14-gauge or 12-gauge wire into a color-coded termination port and close a lever that clicks into place. It's faster, easier, and safer to install. Plus, the connections are all inside the device, so there are no exposed metal parts to worry about. Find out more at Leviton.com/Decora Edge.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the show, where it's time for our Around the Yard segment brought to you by Quikrete. As spring gets ready to give way to summer, most families are looking for opportunities to spend more time outside. But if your concrete patio is looking a little worse for the wear, you may not be excited about that prospect. You know, as durable as concrete is, over time the surface can become a little rough and pitted, what pros call spalling, because of the freeze-thaw cycles, chemicals, or erosion from excessive rainfall. To correct the situation, you'll need to resurface it with a material that we've used a lot. It's Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer. Now, this is a polymer-modified Portland cement product that's specifically designed for making thin layer repairs and restoring the appearance of concrete. You can apply it as thin as a 16th of an inch or as thick as a half inch, so it's ideal for spalling concrete. Now, you begin by cleaning the concrete with a pressure washer before mixing the recap in a 5-gallon bucket. The slab should be damp, but not any standing water before you pour the recap out on the surface. Then you simply use a squeegee to spread the material out evenly over your slab at a uniform thickness. For a patio, you'll likely want to add a non-slip finish by dragging a broom across the surface as the recap begins to harden to create that broom finish that'll keep you from slipping and falling. This Around the Yard segment brought to you by our friends at Quikrete. Right now, headed right back to the hotline. Cindy's on the line. And Cindy, tell us all about what's happening at your house. And welcome to the show.
I saw your segment on Simple Solutions that talked about draining the oil from the spout that it went in. And I wondered if you do the same thing with your gas at the end of the season when you want to drain that?
Joe will tell you several ways to drain it, but the very best way is just to use it all. You know, just put the gas in sparingly so that you completely use it until the motor just quits. That's one of the best ways to ensure that you've drained all of that out. But Joe, if we have a little bit extra gas in there, what would you recommend to Cindy?
Cindy, we're talking about a walk behind lawnmower or a lawn tractor?
Walk behind.
Okay. Yeah. What Cindy's referring to our listeners is that I shot a simple solution recently where you tip the lawnmower on its edge to drain out the oil, because most of them don't have a drain cap like you'd have on your car. Yeah, there's a couple ways you could do it. As Danny said, what I do with my lawnmower, and I've done this for years, is the end of the season, I just run it dry. The last time I mow the lawn, I make sure there's not a lot of gas in there, and I just run it completely dry. And what that does, not only does it get rid of the gas, but it burns all the gas out of the fuel lines and the carburetor and everything else, so it's not going to get gummed up next time you go to use it. But in any case, yeah, so you can, one way you can do it is you can disconnect. I've done this in the past too. I've disconnect the gas line. There's usually a rubber hose going to the underside of the gas tank. You can just disconnect that and the gas will drain out. You'll have to put something under it, obviously, to catch it and just let it run out that way. There are little pumps that you can get. They're very affordable for like $5 or $6. I use it when I had a boat with an outdoor motor. I used this to get gas from a tank into the motor itself, the outboard. And it's just two rubber tubes. And in the middle of the rubber tubes, there's a little bladder, like a little rubber bladder that you just squeeze with your hand. And what it does is it creates siphon. It sucks the gas out. Now you could do that. The only downside of that is what you're draining the gas into has to be lower than the gas tank on the mower. So you'll probably have to put the mower up on like on a porch or something so you can drain. If it's just on the ground, you know, it won't drain out because the siphon won't work unless it's down. So that's the easiest way. Now you're asking, could you just tip it up on its edge? I guess you could, but it sounds like, you know, I try to dissuade people from doing anything. I'd be splashing gasoline everywhere. Right. So I'm not sure how easily it would drain out. It would depend on the mower and how it's configured, I guess. So I think I would probably either pull out use a pair of pliers to loosen the little spring clamp that holds the fuel line on underneath it and just let it drain right out. Take the cap off, of course, because if you put the cap on, it won't drain as easily because you'd be forming a vacuum. But that'd be the easiest way is, I think, either taking off that connection or using one of those little pumps, little hand pumps.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay. And the next year, just run it dry at the end of the season. Just run it dry. And that's the easiest way. Yeah.
I try to do that, but sometimes the weather gets me or whatever, you know, so I end up. But thank you.
Okay. If you end up where you can't do it any other way, then at least add some fuel stabilizer to the gas tank, and that'll keep it fresh, hopefully, until, you know, the spring.
Okay, Cindy. Thanks so much for being with us, and have a great weekend.
Yes, you all as well. Thank you.
So Joe, if you have a little bit of gas in your tank and you mow your grass and you still have gas, then why not go over and mow a portion of your neighbor's yard?
Now, you would love me mowing just a port, one stripe right down the middle.
Yeah. Did you come over here and mow in my yard? Yeah, I thought I'd help you out. I was trying to burn up my gas. So that I don't know. It's kind of one of those things that might not be appreciated, you know? Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio, and when we come back, it's Simple Solution time. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
If your toilet delivers weak flushes or takes forever to refill, it's time for a new fill valve, and the Fluid Master Performax valve is just what you need. Performax is specially designed to boost your toilet's performance by providing a powerful, reliable flush every time, so you have a cleaner, more efficient toilet. Plus, it's one of the quietest valves on the market, and it's easy to install. With adjustments for both tank and bowl water, Performax is ideal for both new and old toilets. Pick up yours at your local home improvement store or visit shop.fluidmaster.com.
Hi, Danny and Chelsea here.
If you're an explorer, we want to invite you to make our home, Mobile, Alabama, your next adventure.
Explore the great outdoors on America's Amazon, the Mobile Tensaw River Delta.
Explore science and technology with the whole family at the Explorium Science Center.
Explore fantastic cuisine at unique restaurants throughout the city.
Explore our history in museums, forts, and sites like Battleship Memorial Park.
Plan your next adventure on the Gulf Coast at mobile.org. Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from PaveStone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from PaveStone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
To every woman with a will and a workbench. Every mom with a miter saw she's not afraid to use. Every daughter with a drill and the drive. To the women who get their nail guns together. The ones who are welding the gap. The same ones who DIY like no one's watching. At the Home Depot, we see the potential in you because you see the potential in everything. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Welcome back to today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
Okay, the wait is over. It's simple solution time. What do you have, Joe?
All right, Danny, this is a tip for using a power miter saw. It's probably the most accurate, quickest, and actually safest way to make cross cuts through boards. But often when you're using a power miter saw, of course, you typically want to make sure you don't cut it too short because, of course, you can't make a board longer. So you're really careful when you make those cuts. But often when you go to fit the board into place, you discover it's just a little bit too long, just a hair too long. And so now you go back to the saw, and if you're not careful, you can end up cutting off too much. So here's how to trim just a teeny tiny bit of wood to produce the perfect fit. What you do is you lower the blade. You don't have the saw running at this point. You just lower the blade, pull the handle down without your hand on the trigger, lower the blade, and butt the end of the board against the body of the blade, not the teeth of the blade, which is why you have to lower it all the way, lower the blade all the way, and you butt the board, the end of the board against the body of the blade. Then you raise the blade and make the cut. And what you'll discover is that the blade will remove just a small fraction of wood that's equal to the distance of how much those carbide teeth extend beyond the body of the blade. Because if you look at the blade, of course, the teeth extend just a little bit, so they make a wider kerf than the body of the blade, because otherwise the blade would get stuck in it. And so, and we're talking, it's less than a 64th of an inch. And that's all you need to do. It's a fine pencil line that it will remove. So I've been doing this for a few years, and I thought, you know, this is actually a pretty good simple solution. So try that next time you cut a board just a bit too long.
Because, yeah, that is a great one, because you do run into those situations all the time, whether you're working on baseboards or building some cabinets or whatever. You always, you know, just a little, just shave it just a little bit. Uh-oh, I shaved it too much. We're starting all over. So great tip there. You can see over 550 other simple solutions by going to todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions. While you're there, find out where you can see the Today's Homeowner television show in your area. We're all over the country in our 25th season, and the show we're featuring this week is called A Growing Project. Pretty cool little room that this young homeowner had, and she loves plants. She didn't want a full-fledged greenhouse. She wanted an area that she actually could, you know, relax in, kind of a little zen room, you know, and be able to also have a table to eat, you know, meals there and so forth. So we went to work. Chelsea went to work with some great ideas and some raised bed gardening inside your house. Yes, this is amazing.
Indoors.
What she did. It's just really cool with and it's up on legs that get it up a little higher, very easy to maintain. Actually built it in such a way that if the homeowner wanted to pick it up or have someone help her pick it up, take it right outside, it's fairly light. We use cedar so that it would be weather, you know, resistant to all of the moisture, and you can take it right outside if you want to give them a good dose of sunshine or leave them inside, because we even have grow lights in there. We also, something I've always loved is a hanging chair, like one of the old big wicker chairs that we hung from a chain. Pretty cool. Nice little sit there, relax. You're surrounded by plants. Read a book.
You're essentially a hanging plant. Danny the hanging plant. Chelsea comes by and waters you every few days.
Yeah, right. There you go.
I want to see a video of that.
Yeah, here's a new book. Don't move. You're good. Also, painting an existing vinyl floor, something you don't hear about very much, but it was very successful in how we did that. And you can see all of this in this week's episode of the Today's Homeowner television show. Again, just drop by todayshomeowner.com and find out all about where you can see it in your area. You can also find over 500 episodes online right now, streaming on a variety of platforms, including Xumo, Tubi, Freevee, Pluto, Roku, and we also have our own channel on Vizio Smart TV and LG Smart TV, a lot of different ways that you can see all the body of work and library of the Today's Homeowner television show. Also, don't forget the community service project that we're doing. We want you to drop by and take a look at everything going there. That address is todayshomeowner.com/battleship. Well, that'll pretty much wrap up the first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. I certainly hope we've been able to provide you some information that you can use at your house. Thanks so much for spending some of your busy weekend with us here on Today's Homeowner Radio.